have your Bibles turned with us to the book of Malachi. Last book of the Old Testament. Been trying to study it here in the last little bit. I find as I get older, my mind is weaker. Sure do wish I'd utilized the younger years better in putting God's Word in my heart and my mind and those things. But we're thankful. Because I tell you what, there's a key to God opening His Word up to you. Proverbs 1, I think it's verse 26. God said, "Turn ye at my reproof. Amen. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." If you're not willing to turn, He's not willing to turn the light on. And that's grace. Because if He turns the light on and you won't turn, you're accountable. I mean, that's grace. But Brother Keith, we need the light. We need God to turn the light onto our heart. God gave us His Word that we might be transformed, changed, not the same anymore. Jesus didn't die on the cross just to save my soul from an eternal flaming fire. He saved me to change me. And I'm thankful for that. God does a great work. I've been reading in the book of Malachi and been reading it or having it read to me. I found myself the other day doing something I did not think I would do. I thanked God that I was losing my hearing. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? I found out I was listening to reply rather than listening to understand. Now I have to listen hard to understand what you're saying. And I found out I wasn't really listening. You listen to just what's my rebuttal, what's my reply, what, you know, you're not really listening. I'm glad we've got a God that listens to us. He wants us to learn to listen. And I found out now that I've got hearing aids and I've had to get those. And everything don't sound the same anymore. They're aids. They didn't restore what I once had. They aid me to understand what you're saying, to word recognition. But I thank God that He is the Word. Amen. He is the living Word. Not a living Word that changes, but a living Word that transforms us, that has power. And I was thinking about it. You pray for me. The Word is alive. Amen. He is alive. Amen. And so I'm thankful. But I got to thinking as I was praying about this here. And Malachi is a stern rebuttal, a reproof to those of that day. And I was trying to find the timeline of Malachi. The name Malachi means missionary, messenger. He's got an angelic name. Don't know anything much about him. Other than that, you know, a few things. That way he comes in here and he begins to speak to them. And it's like God having a conversation with His people, with His priest and with those people. And He asked them questions and so forth. And I do appreciate you praying for me. The power comes through prayer. Amen. God's told us to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. There's many times I'm ashamed because of the lack of study in my early years, just drifting along. Study. Stay in His Word. Meditate in it. Meditate in it day and night. I was thinking back about Brother Ben sharing there about Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Somewhere along that line of studying that years ago, Brother Ben, I found out that that word blessed means happy, happy, happy. And I thought, how happy? That's tied with happiness. Yeah. And I got to reading and thinking about that thing and realized that if you're happy in spirit, if you're happy in soul, if you're happy in the body, you're a blessed man. Amen. And God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So I'm thankful for what God's done and what He's doing in our lives. He's working to transform us into the image of His dear Son. Now, to get back to the message, Malachi comes in here and starts asking those questions. That burden of the Lord, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? Yet the Lord said, I have loved Jacob and I have hated Esau. Now, where I'm wanting to get is over here in chapter 3. But what we find here is God loves them, and they, where have you loved us? I mean, we think of the history of the nation of Israel and how that God had sent them to those 70 years of captivity, and now they've been brought out, and then He sent Nehemiah and Ezra and those prophets and those men to bring them back and to set up the temple there in Jerusalem and to rebuild the walls. And God set them up, but they're not flourishing financially like they thought they would. They're not prospering like they thought they would. Like the Pharisees got to where gain is godliness. Oh, no. No. That's not necessarily... God can bless you. And He may very well bless you, Brother Keith, financially. But that's not where it's at. And that's where these had gotten to. They'd gotten to where they had despised His name. And I got to thinking about how He honors His word above His name. But they got to where they despised His name. And it says, when have we despised Thy name? Ye have offered polluted bread upon My altar. Where even have we polluted Thee? The table of the Lord is contemptible. They've gotten that day where the things of God, the holy things of God, were no longer reverenced. And I thought, God, have I gotten to where I don't reverence Your word like I once did? Has my heart gotten cold to Your word, Your living word, Your holy word? Do I meditate on it day and night? Does that mean from daylight to dark? Does that mean in the morning, in the evening? I got to where I got to thinking about it. I tend to study God's word at night when I was about to fall asleep. My wife say amen to that. I'd fall asleep in a second. I'd fall asleep talking to you. I'm in the middle of the sentence. I'm tired. Am I giving God my last or my best? I'm just telling you, God's convicted my heart. God's confronted me in the study of this little book how He was so disheartened with the children of Israel. How that He had blessed them and brought them back out of that captivity, and He had blessed them and let them rebuild the walls, let them rebuild the protection of their family and their homes and given them back a name. He had chosen them out. They were a peculiar people to Him. A peculiar nation. God loved them, and His hand was upon them. But they had begun to turn in that, and the priest had turned. And He rebukes those priests. I thought I had all up marked so I could try to find it again. But, O ye priests, this chapter 2, verse 1. O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not hear, if ye will not let to heart, place of your love, and to give glory to My name, unto My name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. And I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because ye have not laid it to heart. I thought about how our nation been blessed. Amen. It's not taking it to heart. Our country's not taking... God set this nation as a peculiar nation at one time. He blessed it. When you get a chance to say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, do you realize that it said, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all? And it'll not be, hey, it's gotten out from being under God, and it is divided. And so did the nation of Israel get that way. Verse 10 says, Have we not one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother, profaning the covenant of our fathers? Listen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. I know these love me. And I love you. And Pastor Daniel's tried to help teach us how to love one another by praying one for another. By encouraging one another with words of affirmation. With encouraging. To text one another. I finally got a phone that if I learn how to do it, maybe I can do some of that. Because before, I had a stupid phone with a stupid operator. They don't work good together. But we have that to where we have the opportunities to listen to God's Word and to put God's Word in our heart. And we need to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Amen. It is amazing to me how swiftly our nation has turned from God. And I look back, Brother Luke, and from back at the first Gulf War, how many times God has given us opportunity for our nation to turn back to Him. And we have, as a nation, refused. And as a nation, we shall be judged. And we are cursed already. We are being judged already. He's coming. He's coming. We've wearied Him. In verse 17, chapter 2. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. You say, wherein have we wearied Him? When you say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. And He delighteth in them. And where is the God of judgment? We're going to find out. We are going to find out. The nation here of Malachi, where Malachi starts dealing with them, God confronts this nation and gives them 400 silent years and gives them a time for the nation of Israel to get to the place where He is ready to send the Messiah. That's what they were looking for, but they were not looking for the Messiah that was in the Scriptures, that was hidden in the prophecy of the Scriptures of the suffering Savior. They looked for a king, but they didn't look for one coming sitting upon the colt of an ass. One coming in peace. One to give us peace with God and the peace of God. And if you've got if you've got peace with God, you can have the peace of God that'll give you peace with your fellow man. Because He'll give you a love that will work in you and through you and glorify Him. But we've wearied Him. I feel myself, I'm ashamed. I want God to work repentance in my heart. It has to be worked of God in your heart. He said, behold, I will send my, chapter 3, verse 1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And I thought about, yeah, he came all right, come twice in the temple, flipping tables because it turned the house of God, which is a house of prayer, into a den of thieves. Right. Our Lord. Hallelujah. The covenant. Thank God for the covenant that was made in our Lord. I'd love to preach on that sometime. But God's got us here. And we come down through here and He says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God is merciful. And when he showed mercy on Jacob, he continued to show mercy on Jacob. When he showed mercy on Lot, he continued to show mercy on Lot. And the day God saved me, somewhere about right here, because they built this thing out, somewhere about right here, 1979, September the 23rd, I found grace in the sight of the Lord. And God began to work in me that he's worked for 42 years. And he'll work it till he gets me home, till I see him face to face, till that change that I desire and look for in me, that battle with sin, shall be over. Hallelujah. But until then, we crucify this flesh. We love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You can't love this world, its system and its ways, and love God. They are contrary one to the other. And Malachi has confronted them with a stern confronting. I mean, he wasn't holding back. He told them what they had the problems with, and it was with the priest, it was with the whole religious crowd that turned the rituals of God, the holy things of God, the things that were to point to Christ, and offering polluted sacrifices on the altar, the lame, the blind, as if Christ did not have to be perfect. What was they teaching their children? What was they teaching them? And mentioning that, how are we to teach our children? They need to see us walk in the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
From the rising up to the laying down. As we sit and as we walk by the way, they need to see God working in us. I wish I had been more open with my children to my flaws and let them see how God broke an old man. I'm glad he still breaks you.
Amen.
Tenderly.
Amen.
He loves us.
Amen.
Latter part of chapter 3 here. Verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? And ye have said, it is vain that we to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept thy ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. But he steps in right here. This is where I want to get. Verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened it, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought often upon his name. Let me tell you something. When you think about the Lord, it means something to him. I'm reminded as I'm thinking about that, something my daddy told me. My daddy was getting up in years and getting to where his health was getting very bad. I come home from work one day and I said, Daddy, I've been thinking about you today. And he said, Son, that means a whole lot more than if you tell me you love me. I said, thinking about him. Listen, we can say with our lips, I love you, Lord. Are you thinking about him? You can tell your wife, I love you. Do you think about her? Your children, I love you. Do you think about them? Are you thinking about the Lord? Is he on your mind? Do you meditate on him day and night? Listen to what he says here. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought often upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. I got to thinking about that. They thought often of him. They spoke one to another. Wonder what they're talking about. Wonder what they're thinking about. I thought about, they're thinking about the cradle. You said the cradle. I'm talking about the incarnation of Christ. I'm talking about God in flesh. Has that ever dawned on you? That's who Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Got accused one time, said, you worship that Bible. If you're talking about the living Word, the Son of God, yes, I do. Amen. One of the things that happened to me that made so much difference was the day God saved me, the Word of God started taking a different place in this old boy's heart. Amen. It is the truth. It is the only thing I can literally lay hands on that I know is absolute truth. Everything on Google, you can't trust. Amen. Everything proclaimed from this world, you certainly can't trust it. Let me tell you right quick, run it through this. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It'll put a light on it. The reason they can, what they're trying to do in the public schools and the things that way, they have to deny you having God in it before they can take a lie and make you believe it. Right. But if you'll take the truth and expose it to their hearts, they'll see the truth and see the lie. Amen. You can't put the truth before it exposes it. What aggravates me is they won't give these children a chance. I'm not afraid of them putting other religions in there. Fire will come down out of heaven and consume the sacrifice on the altars. But they can cut themselves. They can do everything they want to. Their God won't show up. He is not real. There's only one true God. They worship demons and devils. According to my Bible. But it says he made up their jewels. And I got to trying to look up some things. But that word there is translated other places, precious. This is the only place it says it's a jewel. There's seven real jewels, stones, and I meant to put down the list of it. Diamond's one of them. And how they're made. And some things that way. And I hadn't got to finish studying that. But a jewel. A jewel. He's making you jewels. Yes. Hey, let me tell you something. There's some jewels in here.
Amen.
God's been working a while. One of the things they do those jewels is they polish them.
Yes, sir.
Because it brings the luster out. And they pick that jewel out. And it's special. That's one of the ways it's translated too, is special. Peculiar is another way it's translated. We're lively stones. Peculiar, a royal priesthood.
Amen.
A peculiar nation. And God's made us and is making us His jewels.
Amen.
Brother Ben, Brother Ed McAbee was a jewel. He is a preacher's preacher. Brother Lockheed was a jewel. Hey, something going on. Sister Flowers was a jewel as she lifted her hands and said, won't you just help me praise Him?
Amen.
Brother Shuth Edmondson was a jewel. There's some jewels that he's done taking on to heaven and he's making some down here, glory to God. And he's going to set them. Is he making a jewel out of you? Is he making a jewel out of me? He will if you think about him. He will if you find the opportunity to talk about it. Proverbs, I may have to turn there because my mind is not what it used to be and it wasn't much then. Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses burst out with new wine. When it said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, let me tell you what it's not meaning. It doesn't mean that you take and you mention God in order to get a good deal with another brother. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about making mention of him to you. I've known people to do that. And peradventure by the grace of God in ignorance, not realizing it. God's talking about taking his precepts and all thy ways acknowledge him, his character, his precepts, and you walk accordingly, and you're acknowledging him, and he will bless you in that. God's making up some jewels. I don't know exactly what he's intending to do with that. Brother Luke, I was trying to study it out and try to find out if there's any place in the scriptures where that might link where he's, you know, a king has a crown. And sometimes they put that jewel in those crowns. But then I thought about the priest, the high priest. He had that. They had those 12 stones on there for the children of Israel, the 12 tribes. What's God going to use those stones for? I don't know. But I know one thing. He's making some jewels. And if you'll meditate on him day and night, does he ever wake you up early in the morning and you just can't get your mind off of him? Does the Word of God start coming to you? My prayer time's laying in my bed meditating what David said, King David said. Just meditating. There's been a lot of times I thought, God, I'd love to get up and start writing some of this down. And if I get up, it don't happen. It seems to go away. You know, it's just me and him. As he loves on my soul and enlightens my soul. Many times that's where I get God's direction for what he wants preached. Do you worship him? Has you ever found God swell up in your heart that you just want to worship him for who he is? Let me tell you something. You may thank God for what he does for you, but he would do none of those things if it was not for his character of who he is. He is holy. And he is just. And he is the justifier of us. I thank God for his creation. And I've got off my message and it's about time for me to quit. The cradle, the incarnation. I believe they talked about it. I believe that when God would open their heart up to see a truth of that. See, that was close to them for so long. The disciples couldn't see it. And we wouldn't either. Remember, in Genesis 22, where Abraham was taking Isaac up there on Mount Moriah to offer him up as an offering. And it said, and Isaac asked him, he said, here's the fire and the wood, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. I was reading it. I don't know why I'd not seen that before or why. No, I didn't. To my knowledge, I never heard it preached. But Brother Tim Ramsey, I shared with him. I said, I seen that. I said, the sacrifice. God will provide himself a sacrifice. One and the same, the sacrifice and himself. It's one and the same. He said, you just seen that. I said, you don't understand. I didn't get that out of a commentary. God showed me that. He got excited. God showed that to me. Amen. Hallelujah. When God's Word comes alive and he shows you the incarnation of Christ, when he shows you not only the cradle but the cross, as the prophecies through the Scriptures showed the cross and the suffering Messiah, the suffering Savior. He's going to come back because the likes of that is the crown. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. But is He King of your life? Does He rule and reign in your life? Are you a servant in His kingdom? You know, Brother King, I may not ask you those questions accusatively to you. I ought to be doing like this and pointing all fingers back at me. But that's the questions He's been asked of me. And you know what? I don't know my heart, Brother Dan. I don't. I have to open my heart up and say, God, show me where I'm really at. It'll break you. Because you sure won't be where you think you are. But He tenderizes you to draw you to Him. I want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing for the Power Conference. Keep texting one another. Keep encouraging one another. Keep praying one for another. God help us that we be bonded together as a body. I was sharing at school one day this week. Now watch me, my mind will go blank again. And it did. We don't know what kind of condition we'll be in when we check out of this world. Will we be in our right mind? Will we be able to continue to meditate on the Lord and think of Him? But we begin to share. There's some people I found out, God's put some good people at Baton. And I was encouraging them today. There's a little nucleus there of about four ladies that are saved in kindergarten where these little ones come in at. And I was encouraging, you need to get together and start your little prayer group together. Because you're going to need one another. And they know that. One of those ladies, she said, if they start teaching my child in school things that I don't agree with in the Word of God, I'm pulling them out that week. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Sounds like somebody's got a little bit of boldness about it. But if we don't, we must unify together. The body's what I thought about. Come back to me and I'm going to close with this. We think about the little cliques that we get in a church. You got this little group over here, got that little group over there, it seems like. Brother Luke, I got to thinking about it. You want me to show you a body, a little clique? This right here is a little clique, but it is attached back to the rest of the body. Somewhere in that clique, there's one that's attached back to another part of the body. And then you got this one. It's another little clique. It does something different. And that little group, kitchen dwellers, they do their thing. And those that sing do their things. And then some of them quit kitchen dwellers and quilters. But it's the body laboring together. And when one hurts, they come minister one to another. Because they love one another. And God has shed a love, His love abroad in our hearts. And because we are brothers and sisters of one womb, and we love God, we love one another. And if we love one another, we pray for one another. And we encourage one another. And we do whatever God tells us to do, one for the other. And I tell you what, isn't it a wonderful thing to be birthed into the family of God and get to meditate and worship Him together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again tonight for Your Word.